Two passages. First will be from Isaiah 6, 1 to 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Next passage is from Colossians 3, 1 to 4. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory."
Shall we pray? Because this is a very important passage of Scripture. Our Lord God, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we ask that you would meet with each one of us and that we may see your glory this morning, because we do want to exalt you, we want to praise you, and we thank you for what you're going to teach us. Amen. Good morning, and how are you all this morning? Well, have you noticed that there is a lot of humour around in the midst of our coronavirus and all that? It's all there. And we're thinking of this. Do you know what? If you look at Isaiah, 70 times he says, "I'm rejoicing." And it's a very difficult time, but he's rejoicing in God's plans. And this is just thrilling. In these pictures that you're looking at, we see this man. We don't know a lot about his story, but he came to God in every situation, and he prayed and spent time with him, getting to know him and his mind. On the right hand side, that's my right hand side, you can actually see a statue of Isaiah. And this was actually made by a Russian sculptor, and he made this out of steel or bronze or whatever it is, and he sent it to the United Nations, because in that picture you see he's turning a sword into a plowshare, doing something productive. We've had destruction. We want positive things. We want something that is beautiful and loving. And this little poem of 13 verses is an amazing poem because it really is filled with joy, because in this book of Isaiah, over 70 times, Isaiah says, I'm rejoicing. And this is vitally important. In the midst of whatever we're in, he rejoiced in the fact that God is changing and he is in total control. Okay, we go on to the first part to have a look at what that says. Thank you very much. Here we see this major event occurred. King Uzziah, he was a great king, a very good organizer of things, great military leader. He was a builder. He was a great agriculturalist, developed lots of things. And then he died. And, you know, it's strange when something happens like this, it's a shock to every one of us. You're so used to this person being around. Actually, in the midst of this, he had got proud of his ability of doing and building up the nation. It became a great nation, you know, as great as what David and Solomon had. He had built it up again to be really something wonderful. So he went into the temple and he was going to offer incense on the altar. And the priest says, that's not your job. And he was angry, but God punished him with leprosy at that time. So for many years, he shared the king with his son, Jotham, and he was the king at that time. On the right-hand side, this is actually Uzziah's tomb marker. And this is his tomb, which they moved it from one position to another, and then they put on it, nobody's to open this tomb. This is Uzziah's tomb, and that's him. Now, how did Isaiah feel about this? Well, as I look at these notes that I've sent you, there's other things. He was an influential advisor to the kings of Israel. It was something like five kings, and that was for 50-odd years. That's a long time. It's what we call a public servant, or he might have been minister of foreign affairs or something like that. This was this man, Isaiah. And he worked for the king because he used to turn up and give advice. And we notice that right through the book of Isaiah. He was there. Very influential person. Now, in all of this, he comes to the temple. What is he going to do? This great king has died. Will the place be in chaos? Will there be just instability? He is a man who wants to get things organized. And when I look at some of you people, there's some people in your church that are wanting to get everything perfectly organized. Is that true? It's very true. You know people. They're kind of, some people are born like this. They're kind of, they've got an all, they want to be involved in organizing it perfectly. And this is what this man wanted. He came to the temple. And there he is. What am I going to see in this temple? What's going to happen? Am I going to talk face to face with God? He'd never seen God before. He'd just gone there, prayed in the temple, and that's where he'd gone away. But this time, something very different happened. Let's think about you. Has this happened to you? Has God met with you in some special way, a purpose in your life? Because he loves you, and he's got something wonderful that he wants to do with you. So there he goes in. And suddenly he was shocked. God came to him. He thought he was going to God in the temple, but God came in an amazing way. He saw, and this is what this passage says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty. The king had died. The throne was empty. Hang on. God was getting through to him. No. I am still on the throne. And when we face this, the economy is not going too well in many places. Politicians are arguing with each other and there's border matters and, you know, all of this going on. God says, the throne is not empty. I am still on the throne. And each one of us must face this issue. We must submit to God in this and say, I will trust you. You are in control. And as he looked at God, God is invisible. God is a spirit. You can't see him. But there he saw him. In other words, God was speaking directly to his heart. Today, God is speaking directly to your heart, what he wants to be Lord of in your life. He's high and exalted. He's greater than the whole universe. And this is what he said. The hem of his garment filled the temple. Okay, could every one of you just stop for a moment and look at the hem of your trousers, your slacks, or your dress? Look at it. It's only a small part of it. That filled the temple. This is staggering. And as Isaiah looks at this, he's stunned. That little part of the clothes that God was wearing was filling the temple, overflowing it. And this is amazing. Okay, we'll go on to the next slide and look at this. Bigger than the universe. The God that appeared to him had reduced himself down to fit into a temple. That's amazing. Actually, this passage of chapter 6 ends with Jesus, and it really reminds us Jesus did this too. He reduced himself to the size of a human being like you and I. And he knows what we're going through. He's bigger than all the universe, huge. And when you think of ourselves, we are just specks of dust in this earth. It's so tiny compared, because that's just the Milky Way we're looking at in the sky. And God is bigger than that. And yet he loves you and I so much. He's concerned about the little things in your life and my life, our family, our house. And each of us have little issues that we have problems every day, health and that type of thing. And as we think of this, this bigger than the universe, and we're asking that God would open our eyes to see how well we can trust him. He's bigger than all this. He's controlling everything. And yet he loves us so much. But this is what we're thinking of. So as we ponder that, this is what, bigger than his eyes could see, this is what this man Isaiah saw. God in the temple. And what did he see? Let us go on to the next one and see that. The main thing God was getting across to Isaiah, you are one of these people in the temple. You're here worshiping me, but you're also a public administrator. You are a public servant. You're an official member of the government. You're an advisor to many kings. You're a very intelligent man. I want you to notice God appeared in his holiness, which is dazzling morality, light, and it seems so amazing. And he's totally loving, totally powerful, and totally sovereign. And this is where he is worthy of our trust. And in the moment of this death, which was going to make a problem for the kingdom, he appears. Now, as you look at those two pictures, you've got a throne of authority, but then you've got another throne, another crown. That crown is a thorn. And this is what we're reminded of. Jesus came as the Lord of the universe. He came down and became a human being so that he might take away our sin through his death on the cross, and then to rise from the grave to show that he really is sovereign over that. Everything, he is in control. The throne is not empty. And when we face a sickness, like last week, went to the dentist and I told the dentist she was going to have some problems. And sure enough, it was. Went on for 2 hours and they were all shocked in that dentist place. But God is still on the throne. He's the one who is in charge. We submit to him, but we submit with joy because he's got big plans. Can I say what we're looking at in this small little passage of scripture is actually just an appetizer towards the big picture, which is heaven. That is what God is aiming at. These are just little parts along the journey, but it's part of it, which is very important. And when Isaiah looked up at God, he saw the holiness of God. Here you see a royal gown, and here you can see the hem of that gown is held out so that you can see it. Beautiful, beautifully made. God is so big that the hem of his royal robe filled and overflowed the temple. And that means you and I are under that robe. He's in control of all of this. And this is where you see this type of thing is going on. In this little poem we've read, this one that Isaiah wrote, you see many things there, because all of these things are teaching us important features of knowing God, trusting him, and rejoicing in him. Thank you very much. Now, God revealed himself to Isaiah. Now, God is invisible, and Isaiah was gripped with a physical awe that affected his whole being, his whole mind, his whole spirit and body, and he saw God. You know, your eye and my eye, they can see physical things, but we can't see the invisible things, such as when we think of it, as I look at you, your mind is churning over thinking of this passage of scripture, and you're thinking of it and you're actually visualizing it with your eyes, but you're not seeing it like Isaiah saw it. And this is what our eyes can see physical things, but we can't see invisible things. Now, as you look around yourself, you see your family, you see there's a love between members of the family. That's invisible. But also, you know, there's other people outside who've never been friendly, if you know what I mean. There's anger somewhere there, and you can't see it, but it's invisible. And these are the invisible things that God reveals to us in our mind and in our spirit, and says they are real. And so Isaiah looks, but God is communicating with him in his spirit and revealing all of this to realize, you can trust me in this. You can rely on me. Because at that time, there were angels came down. It's called seraphim, and these are the word used for fiery angels or burning wings or whatever it is. Now, you notice something very important about this. They had six wings. There's one, six wings. There they are. And as he's looking there, he sees these flying around. Two wings, they fly. That's what they're using them for. But two wings, they cover their feet. Two wings, they cover their face. And this is where it's very strange. What does this all mean? What's its purpose? Do you see, these angels could see God. They knew what he was, how great he was, how perfect, loving, good, and holy and righteous he was, and they still covered their face. He is so much greater than us. And in humility, they bow before him and cover their face. They cover their feet. We are not worthy to look on him who is so perfect. When you think of this, when do you pray? When do you pray, do you cover your face like these angels did? Because we are talking to the huge, almighty God, and he wants to walk with us. He wants to hug us. He wants to take our hand and walk through the difficulties of life. He wants us to walk there and be with all of these people. And then I put the cross there. This is where the Holy One up in heaven sent his son to die on a cross. He was too holy to even look on sin, and yet he took my sin and your sin on that cross to make us just like God, holy. And Jesus gives us his holiness. Now, as we see this, we can see this picture. God is revealing. God is not saying anything at the moment. He's actually revealing through these physical things so that Isaiah can see them and understand. And at this point, I brought along a torch. This is a torch, and we use torches to shine in the darkness. And this is where it helps us. God has not said a thing, but Isaiah is immediately gripped. The holiness of God is revealing his sinfulness in his heart. And actually, in this passage, it stresses his unclean lips. Now, what is uncleanness? It can be many things, because Isaiah actually said at one occasion, in this city, there's nobody who doesn't tell lies. Everybody's lying. Lying has become the way of life of these people. This is what he said. And everybody is stunned by this. And suddenly he realizes it's not just the people in this city. My lips too are unclean lips. They are telling lies, maybe evil things, anger and other things. And as he looks, God takes the initiative and God sends an angel to go to within the temple to the altar there where there are red hot coals. And this angel goes and uses tongs and picks them up, one of these red hot coals, and he flies with it across to where Isaiah is, and he takes the coal and he puts it on his lips. Would you like that to happen? No, I don't think I would. And this is where you think red hot coals would burn my lips. But this is maybe just a vision. I don't know whether it burnt his lips. Paul actually mentions in Galatians, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus through my witness to other people. There are actually scars on my life and in various places. The history of our life is marked in the scars. When you fell over on the footsteps or something, this type of thing, there are scars on each one of us. I wonder whether this man, this great prophet, had a burn mark on his lips. I don't know. I like to refer to him as the burnt prophet, you know, burnt lips prophet. There he is, he's got a band-aid across his lips where the angel burnt his lips. I don't know, that's just my thought. It was something that occurred to me. I like to refer to Isaiah as the burnt lip prophet when God cleansed his sin and his guilt was taken away, his shame and his sin was all removed and he was transformed. So God shines into our life to make us just like him. Thank you very much for the next one. And as we look at this, suddenly God speaks. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Hang on. He's not telling Isaiah what to do. Do you notice this? God gave you and I think with a mind to think through things, work out problems and do things like that. But we are part of God's creation. He created us to be his co-laborers, fellow workers with him in all of these things. And immediately Isaiah responds and says, here am I, send me. Do you see? Isaiah had seen the greatness of God. He'd seen the holiness of God, the power, the cleansing ability of God through the lamb of sacrifice and that coal that was brought to him. He'd seen all this, the love God expressed in doing this to him and fixing up his life. And there, in humility, he obeyed God. Here I am, send me. He turned from his sin and set out to obey the word of God that God was giving to him. This is what was happening in this vision. And this is also part of your life. What is God calling you to do in your suburb, in your street, in your workplace, your school, in this coronavirus thing? We don't know what God has in mind, but he has something beautiful because we have been privileged. In mercy, he draws us into his work project to be part of it, to be co-laborers, fellow workers with him. And this is what he wanted to do in Isaiah's life. So let's go on to look at the next part. And then I wonder what's going through this organized man. How long is the contract for? You know, he doesn't say that, but it just occurred to me, how long, O Lord, have I got this job? Is it a one-year contract, 2 years, 5 years? And God then begins to read a passage to him. And in this passage, he says, Isaiah, you've got a difficult project. Go to this people and say, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Do you see people have clogged up their ears to the word of God? They're going to hear you, but they're not going to want to do it. They're listening, looking, but don't want to understand it. And this is sadly the mind of humanity. How long, O Lord, until the cities lie waste without inhabitants? In other words, there's no end to this contract. The whole of our life is to be lived for him. And this is your life, Isaiah. Now, here we come to a city. Do you know the city, any of you there? I'm asking you, but I'll tell you, this is Singapore. Many of you have been to Singapore, is that right? Yes, this is Singapore in the COVID virus situation. Nobody on the streets, it's empty. Go and warn these people, even though they do not understand, till the cities are empty. Keep on warning them. It is vitally important they accept my healing, my salvation. By the way, what is Isaiah's name? The Lord is my salvation. That's his name. And this is what God wants to do in our lives and to people's lives. Could you imagine Sydney like this? An empty city? Keep on telling them. Keep on warning them. Keep on praying for people. And this is what he's telling them. Sydney might one day be just like this, with nobody crossing the harbour bridge. Isn't that amazing? This could be actually happening now. We don't know if we are in the last days, that there is the day when Jesus will return. We don't know if it's this day. It may be. But this is what the contract is, my friend Isaiah. Go and warn them until the cities are empty. Now we look at this next one. Now we come to actually the most important verse in this passage. Because as I said to you, what is happening in the life of Isaiah, what is happening in your life today and through this week is just the appetizer for the ultimate reality. So I look at verse 13. God judges righteously, and what he's doing in this world is right. And a new shoot will grow. Even if a tenth part remain of it, it will be burned again. The terebinth or the oak, whose stump remains standing when it is fell, the holy seed is in its stump. Do you see what's happened? God is saying, I'm going to cut down this tree, but I have the last word. There is a seed in that tree that's going to grow again. Do you see God has plans for your life, my life? And as we look at this in the New Testament, it takes up this and it says, Jesus is this living seed. The holy seed is in its stump, and that's Jesus. And you and I, when we become children of God, just like Isaiah, we become new seeds in our environment and we are going to grow. And this is where you have this whole picture before us of what God has planned to do through us. Let us look on to this last one. And as we go, we stop for a moment. There's a whole big chapter in Colossians that, as I read it, it says, what did Jesus achieve during his life here on this earth? What did he achieve? Paul says, set your heart on things above. Not on this earthly things, here, coronavirus, sickness, pain, struggle, money, budget, all governments, armies, military things, all of this, and we see it all around us. Set your heart on things above. That is the eternal thing. That is the one that's going to be there forever. Christ is seated on the right-hand side of God, in control of all of that. And as you look at Colossians 2:20, he said, when I died on that cross, I took you with me. And you died with me on that cross to sin. And we have been raised to newness of life. empowered by all that I am as God and all my love, all my righteousness, to actually sit with him on his throne. And this is unbelievable. We frail, sinful people are now accepted and we sit with God on his throne. That's what the Bible says. This is an amazing mercy upon mercy that he has such a great position for us in heaven. And this is what he has in mind. Seek the things above, love, holiness, righteousness, wisdom, all of these things. And the plan that he's purposed for us to do with our fellow human beings, we are to do those with God. As we look at God today, we see nothing. We can't see anything, but he's there and he speaks within our heart because he wants to exalt himself through you and I today. Let's think of it. Isaiah was brought into this world, created by God. And God said in Isaiah 43, verse 7 and verse 21, you have been created to exalt me, exalt God. That's the purpose of our life. And this is what we are to do. Every day we are to live. And in this moment in his life, a transformation came over Isaiah. And he began to fulfill all the purposes of God and exalt him. That's what God has planned for us today. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father, we come to you this day and praise you for your mercy to us sinful people, that you have cleansed us. You have burnt our lips from the lamb of sacrifice and you have set us free from sin to exalt you. That's your purpose. And may we today glorify you as you deserve. Take our lives and let them be in life and in death a song of praise. Amen.